Hello and welcome in to An Abundance of Naught. Garrett here with Brad and Wade on October the 1st.
Hello.
Yay.
Second Hello. Best month of the year.
It's up there. Yes.
Does it Halloween?
Halloween.
Yep. Only
second only to Christmas?
I'm guessing that's what Wade's thinking. Second only to Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Wade's all about receiving. He's not much of a giver.
Oh, shush. I still remember that box season of True Blood I gave you.
Sure. I remember the Wii that I bought the whole family that is now sitting in a box in the garage, collecting dust, not getting used. Womp, womp.
That's not my fault they don't make games for the damn thing.
That are worth playing.
Yeah, exactly. What do you want me to do?
Well, seeing as we're keeping lists, remember the thing that I did for Thing and the Thing?
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Uh-huh.
That thing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Moving on.
How's everybody doing?
Doing wonderful. How about you?
I'm great. I've got a birthday coming up. I am taking Monday off work in case I put myself into a situation on Sunday. So it'll be great.
You're hoping to put yourself into a situation on Sunday.
I'm leaving the opportunities open.
Uh-huh.
That's the safest way I can express it.
All right.
Anybody else alive? No? Just me?
Nope. Nope, just you. Okay.
All right. Feel free to, you know, anyone else can talk.
Anywho,
we can, but we dare not.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'll try. This week has been kind of crazy for me. Due to that, one of the other dishwashers has hurt himself at the gym.
Nice.
He's going to come into a lot of, like, bro, do you even lift jokes?
Apparently not, because he got hurt at the gym.
The boss, one of my bosses, was asking, oh, you know, can you get back to me, see if you can work closing tomorrow? I'm like, let me think about no, because I hate closing.
Oh, come on, it's not that bad, is it?
if you can see the look on his face,
you have never been closing dishwasher.
You are correct, I have not.
It is a new, fresh hell you will never know.
You got kind of a hell thing going on tonight. Are you alright?
No.
Okay.
Bloody hell.
Alrighty then.
You have anything more to add to your closing statement?
Yes, Brad, how are you?
And that was enough of that. I'm doing very well. We had a go live week this week. We got the equipment set up and commissioned, so after a few weeks of busting my tail to get stuff done and set up, but finally, you know, a little bit of a cruisy day today, so.
Yeah, it's a good thing you've got good documentation to work off of, so everything goes nice and smooth.
Well, no, we had to improvise because the documentation sucked, but.
So bad. It's so bad.
No, the documentation was really good.
So
it's helpful when the customer plays their part, too.
Oh, that's also, definitely a big point that gets overlooked far too often.
Oh, yes, so it does. You mean the power cord is in the right wall, then the left wall? Oops, well, the customer wants you to pay for the repairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It unfortunately, too often it happens that they don't even read the documents that we send, and we get there and it's all wrong, and it's like, why didn't you tell me? We did. Didn't you read the documents?
Yeah.
Read? What?
Read?
Yeah.
Why do we read words when we could just kill the stuff the words tell us stuff about?
Come on, man. You've written a site called TLDR.
That's right.
This is true. So it's been implemented in-house that we do standard meetings now every Wednesday to express issues in the design process. And then those issues may or may not get presented to our collective department head. So
Okay. Apparently
some of the issues that were brought up or concerns or statements or opinions
general issues.
We're prolific enough to where now we have a meeting scheduled tomorrow to, as a whole department, confer with our collective boss instead of just the point man on the situation. So that should be interesting tomorrow.
This place is so screwed up, you need to get down here.
No, I mean, he sits right really close to us. It's just, whenever you work in a company that you've got a lot of people that funnel through one guy, you don't want to necessarily bug him with every little thing and more people. I'd like to have somebody just take what's needed, report, address, be done with it, move on.
Because that's how office shootings start.
I should have edited some gunfire there, but I'm not going to. That's the best you guys are going to get.
It would be great if you did that and we just ended the podcast.
It would be pretty funny. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Cool.
And with that being said, I think we should just jump right into some movies.
Movies.
So we got a few things coming out this week. We have a movie called Gone Girl. This is an 89% critic rating. It's a budget of $50 million. One of the main producers on it is Reese Witherspoon. This movie is starring Ben Affleck, Neil Patrick Harris, Tyler Perry, and a Rosamund Pike and a Carrie Coon. I don't know who they are, but I figured since the title of the movie was called Gone Girl, I should mention the female leads. Just a thought. Synopsis was really non-existent online at my few sources that I had time to check, but it is based on a 2012 novel by Gillian Flynn, who was also the one who wrote the screenplay. So he took his book and did the screen adaptation screenplay. It is an American mystery thriller, though, so if that gives anybody any sort of basis to go off of.
I'm going to guess the female is missing.
She might be gone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Also coming out this week is Annabelle. This one's right down Wade's alley. This does not have a critic rating yet. It is a fairly low budget at $5 million. No significant actors that are recognized in this. But the synopsis is that John Gordon gets his wife and unborn child a very rare doll as a present, which is dressed in a very pure white wedding dress. Their house is then invaded by a satanic cult who more or less performs a ritual and, whether knowingly or not, summons an entity. Unfortunately, the horrors that the satanic ritual inflicted on the family pales in comparison to what follows. I think we've all kind of seen the trailers. It very much alludes to that the doll itself is possessed, but it may go deeper than that. So we will find out. And then also coming out is a movie called Left Behind. There's kind of a theme going on here. This has got a budget of $16 million, starring Nicolas Cage amongst a few others, but he was the big name on it. Synopsis is that millions vanish.
15 of the $16 million was just to get him to show.
Probably. The synopsis is that millions of people suddenly vanish in what's being called the Rapture, which is followed by riots and looting. An airline pilot named Ray, who I'm assuming is Nicolas Cage, must deal with his hysterical passengers while also trying to land a plane that's full of aircraft debris and worry about his family not knowing if they are home or have in fact been...
Raptured,
yes. I was going to say taken, but didn't really apply, and I was trying to think of another word, and it didn't work. Additionally, a journalist struggles to understand the events, and I'm assuming you have different stories going on here, because the third point is that the pilot, Ray's daughter, is struggling to find her mother and brother. So I don't know if it's going to be kind of a Tarantino-type flick where they're showing you like three different stories and they kind of converge later or not.
Oh, God.
But that's what's going on there.
Not a fan, Wade?
But those are just kind of hard to follow for me. They're really jumpy.
Yeah.
It's like this person, then this person, and this person, and this person's like, can I see what's going on for one person, please?
No.
Do you have trouble with Game of Thrones?
I don't need to know what's going on in Game of Thrones. All I need to see is Khaleesi. I'm good.
Alrighty.
Very narrow-minded there. Finally coming out, a movie called Men, Women, and Children at 43%. This is starring Adam Sandler, and Emma Thompson is credited with a voice. I don't know if she's doing like a voiceover or whatever. I'm not really sure. Narrating or something. I don't know. But the synopsis is pretty basic here. A group of high school teenagers and parents attempt to navigate the many ways that the internet has changed their relationships, their communication, their self-image, and their love lives. Based on a lot of our conversations, that's right down some of our alleys. In the box office this week, we have The Equalizer, that's Denzel Washington movie, pulling in $34.1 million. The Maze Runner, and number two at $17.4 million. The Box Trolls pulling in $17.3 million. And this is where I leave you at fourth at $6.9 million. We've got three honorable mentions, none of which made the top 10 in the box office. That is The Two Faces of January, Two Night Stand, and Jimmy All Is By My Side. So clearly, either not a widespread release on the Jimi Hendrix movie, or not enough of a fan base to warrant significant revenue. I did go see the Box Trolls this weekend, and I have to say I was a little disappointed.
Thank God I missed it. Woo!
Some of the detail in the figures seemed lacking. Like in the face area, some of the trolls have really like furled brows and really creased brows, but it looked like a lot of that was just in the coloring, like a video game mask, versus actually detailed, layered, sculpted into the clay.
Uh-huh.
So I was kind of bummed out about that, and the movie definitely had some slow spots and kind of drug on a bit. I mean, for the kids, it's great, but I think it really could have been better, and I think its rating was about 40-something percent, so kind of matches up with that.
I dodged a bullet. Oh, he did. That feels good.
Since Wade had to work late this weekend, he was not involved in the movie viewing experience. Coincidentally, I did see Godzilla again on Friday night, and I do enjoy that most recent release. So, if you haven't seen it, give it a shot. Box Trolls, pick it up for the kids and let them watch it in another room.
I've got to make it a point. Okay.
In another room.
To sit down and just watch all like the old school rubbered suit Godzilla movies.
I think you can get like the whole series at like Walmart right now for like 10 or 15 bucks.
Doesn't surprise me considering the new one's out.
Yep. But that's it for movies. So let's jump into some news.
As a nice segue out of our movie segment, I have a couple movie news articles today. So, just announced that Netflix will be getting into the movie business. Ooh. This is on the heels of them being in the television production business with Orange is the New Black and House of Cards. It has been announced that the sequel to the Oscar-winning martial arts drama Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon will be shown on Netflix at the same time as IMAX Cinemas in August. So they will be getting it at the same time as the theatrical release.
That's interesting. I mean, how much of a hand do they have in production? Do we know?
No, we don't know exactly.
Because, I mean, that seems like it'd totally kill the box office factor if you've got people that have a Netflix subscription, if it's just ready to stream. And not like an on-demand thing where you pay for it.
Yeah.
I do believe the movie is called Green Legend.
Yes, it is. Ah. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, the Green Legend.
Wasn't that kind of the name of the sword?
It's probably why.
I don't know.
Wow.
Okay.
Netflix, this isn't the first time Netflix has worked with the Weinstein Company, the production company behind it. They are also set to release a drama series about Italian explorer Marco Polo in December.
Okay. So
Netflix is very much getting into creating the content rather than being stuck with having to beg for licenses for other people's content.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they're branching out, which is good for them. But like we talked about previously, I wonder if that's going to hurt them in the long run.
Yeah, weren't they should already... be interesting. Go ahead.
No, I just... That should be interesting and to see.
I was just...
What was your point?
I was wondering, weren't they in some kind of trouble with the, like, TV guys about... Oh, no, this would then be winning awards for their own original content. Okay, yeah.
Well, the only reason they would be... They're not necessarily in trouble with, but they're potentially flirting with disaster because the broadcasting companies also have a hand in the, like, ISP service and the net neutrality thing.
Mm.
So yep. If Netflix is winning all these awards and they're doing their own thing... Well, these companies can kind of make it harder for people to get onto that content to view it and go back to watching TV. So you kind of got that, you know, don't bite the hand that feeds you type of relationship.
Yeah.
So. And you had, another one too?
Cable companies have no incentive to play nice.
Yeah. And you had another movie...
I did. Well. So, continuing on the movie theme, it was announced this week that a major, epic, live-action, feature-length sci-fi motion picture has been announced to make Tetris.
Tetris, the movie.
Tetris. Yes, Tetris, the movie.
Interesting.
The yeah, only so apparently this
way
one...
I can see them doing... Go ahead.
Oh, apparently this has been going around the internet for a while as a joke, but this is actually legit this time. It's been reported on by the Wall Street Journal. One of the chairmen for Threshold Entertainment spoke with the Wall Street Journal, giving some of the details, not much yet. I'm confused how this is... He does say very clearly that it's not a movie with a bunch of lines running around the page. you will see in Tetris... what you will see in Tetris is the teeny tip of an iceberg that has intergalactic significance. I'm not sure how that ties into Tetris, but, okay.
Yeah, I'm wondering because... Yeah, I don't know.
Turns out Tetris was... actually in space the whole time.
Well, let's not forget that Universal bought an option on an Asteroids movie in 2009. Meanwhile, Warner Brothers bought an option for Spy Hunter in 2006, and we haven't seen either of those movies yet.
Yeah. So, I mean, the only way I could see them doing something like this is that in like 97 there was a movie called The Cube. And it was loosely based on a Rubik's Cube, and people were trapped inside of these individual rooms that moved around in a time period. If they stayed in the room too long, they would die. Certain rooms had coded numbers, and only if the room had like a even number prime, based on that code, it would tell you if it was safe or not. And the only one who could figure it out was this this autistic guy who was... had no social really ability, but he could work out the prime numbers for these mega numbers. But like, that's sure. The only way I don't want to say the only way, but if you're going to hold true to a Tetris theme, you've got to dive either really deep into it, or you've got to do something like they did with Battleship, where only a few small aspects related to the game of Battleship, and they branched off in a totally different direction. But they were still able to use some of the concepts and implement that into the movie. So, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if they actually do it.
Was going to be the example that I use, is they have made Battleship. I mean, that was a successful movie.
Yeah. I did also see, though, in the news that the Deadpool movie with Ryan Reynolds, that the trailer that was leaked from Comic-Con, apparently that's back on the table. And they're looking for, I think, a late 2015 potential release date on that. So that could be really interesting. And they are still looking to utilize Ryan Reynolds and his witty comedic timing for Deadpool, from what I read. So fingers crossed that stays on track now.
And I have one. Avatar 2
Yeah.
With the big green people, is slated for a 2016 release date.
Yeah, they've been talking about that one for a while.
It's slated, so...
Just wonder what they're going to do, because the first one was very Dances with Wolves with Aliens, so what are they going to do with the second one when all the...
The humans come back with full military force. It's about as far as I can guess.
And that's all that is a guess, so we'll see what happens with that. If you're a big Avatar fan, keep your eyes out for early 2016 for...
I would say later 2016.
Probably keep November. An eye out in 2016 for Avatar 2.
Don't get people's hopes up.
They'll forget by tomorrow. You done with your movies?
Good. We're done.
I am.
Okay. Wade, take it away.
Well, speaking of things that... Well, they're still going, but things that do get canceled. Project Titan, the very hush-hush project from Blizzard, has been canceled. Now, we could have spoke about this last week, but I did want to hold off on it till we got more information. It seems that the CEO of Blizzard has come out and said there was no fun, there was no passion to the game, and they basically said, is this the kind of game we want to be making? And the answer is no. Then later asked if they would, are they leaving MMOs? Well, the CEO said, we're not really looking into them now. You know, obviously they still have the largest MMO game, World of Warcraft, still going. So they're not running away from making MMOs. They're just not doing them at the moment. But, I mean, they're not at a loss for any kind of profit with both the expansion, Warlords of Draenor, for World of Warcraft, the Heroes of the Storm, expansion, and then the expansion for StarCraft, the Protoss campaign. I mean, they're still pretty well set for the upcoming year.
Yeah, I mean, Blizzard's not hurting.
No, sure. Absolutely not.
And I mean, they've got, yeah, Hearthstone is just exploding. Everyone's doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Tournaments all over the place. They're doing their card transactions, whatnot. So it's not like they're going out of business. They just need to re-examine their focus.
And we do have BlizzCon next month, so... Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
They usually like to do their big announcements then. I probably foresee a release date for the expansion for StarCraft 2.
There you go.
Awesome.
Is that all you got there?
That's pretty much all I have for that.
Okay. So, we're all on Facebook. Some of us a little more actively than others. Some of us not nearly as active as we should be. Which is kind of the same thing.
I think that one was aimed at me.
No, it was kind of aimed at all of us. I think we could all be more active, but should we be? That begs the question. Well, if you're sick of all the advertisements that Facebook offers, and I say offer in air quotes, and you're concerned about your data being sold to third-party companies so they can better understand who you are as a person to sell you things, there's a solution. A new social media site named Hello, as in hello in the United Kingdom, may be just the answer for you. What is it? Well, it's a new ad-free social network portrayed as the anti-Facebook, but won't necessarily come out and say it. They did publicly come out and say, we are completely ad-free and we will not sell data to third parties, both of which are jabs at Mark Zuckerberg. Some people are dubbing this as the laziest form of social protest by just signing up for another social media site. Does it describe itself as the anti-Facebook? No, not explicitly, but yes. The CEO, Paul Budnitz, says Elo isn't really anti-anything. We don't actually consider Facebook a social network. We think of it more as an advertising platform. Well, he's not wrong. Interestingly enough, though, if you sign up for Elo and you decide you don't like their mission statement, you have an option to agree or disagree. If you select the I disagree button, you will be forwarded directly to Facebook.
Huh.
Which I thought was pretty fun.
That's great.
The question was asked, do they collect data? The answer, it is a website, so yes, but only some. They're only looking, at least now, at where users are coming from, where they live, and how much time they spend on Elo. Where did they come from, you ask? I'm glad you asked that question. They've been a private social network for about 100 people per Budnitz. And up in August 7th, they went semi-public. What is semi-public? They have a limited invites system, which kind of provokes the, hey, how can I get a part of this? You know, it's not allowed for everybody yet. It's kind of a, you got to know somebody.
Sure. So, it gives a sense of exclusivity.
Exactly. People yeah, love what to I was be, going for.
People love to be part of those small groups.
So you've got to either know somebody to invite you to get in, or you can sign up now to be on the waiting list for when they go fully public. The site claims to be adding 50,000 new people per hour, doubling its population every couple of days. What's it like? What's the experience like for an anti-Facebook, quote-unquote, social media network? It looks a lot like an early Facebook. You know how Facebook originally spawned. No ads, people talking, whatever. But what's the catch? I mean, there's no ads. What's the downside of going to Elo versus staying Facebook? First of all, which I found was hilarious, there's no like button. You can't like someone's comment or a picture or whatever.
Oh, thank God.
I also kind of saw that as a benefit, not a drawback, but yes. There's obviously more connections on Facebook. So many people are on it. Elo is still very sparse right now, and it's difficult to figure out which of your friends have Elo at this point, because it is still very exclusive based on their model.
You go onto Facebook and ask who has Elo to get into Elo, therefore making...
But then you're on Facebook, so that's another point here. And additionally, the button to post a status or an update is so subtle that it's almost invisible. The editor who wrote this article said that he actually spent 15 minutes hunting around the website's page just to find the post button so he could update a status or do a public post.
Oh, good. So you mean like people's stupid comments or stupid posts will be like, you know, I'm not going to do it because I can't find the post
can't
page.
Find the darn post button. Yeah, exactly. So the final question here, which is obviously probably the most important one, would you recommend joining? And the writer here says, if your information being sold puts you into a rage quit, then yes, obviously this is a very viable option. And if you want to cleanse your social circle, air quotes, from all the high school and college people that you have on your Facebook but don't actually care about and talk to, then definitely it's an option to start over where people aren't going to be harassing you about removing them from your friends list or whatever. So more social networks. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I guess my biggest question to this is, what's the business model? Unless they're charging users on sign up, which was not addressed in the article at all, where's the money coming from?
You know,
if they're not selling your information for revenue, if they're not posting ads on their page for you to access and generating revenue, where's the money?
I like that one thing. It looks very much like a early Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, well, guess what's going to happen when so many people come in, like, guys, we need cash to handle this server because our stuff right now isn't cutting it.
Well, I think it's more along the lines of once they build up a population, they'll sell out to somebody and walk away from it and let them do whatever they want with it.
That's a great business model. Here's a social network, no ads.
Oh, we sold to somebody who's going to give you ads.
Later. Here's our another one. Sold it. Here's another one. Sold it. Screw you guys. Later.
Yeah.
Well, my understanding from, and I didn't get a chance to follow this completely, but my understanding is that they are planning to go to a paid model at some point.
Ah.
Okay.
where you will pay to be a member.
That makes sense. If they're not going to post ads or sell information, then that's the only really viable option to keep it up and running.
Sure. And there are people who would pay $5 a month to have a Facebook-like
experience with some
experience
security.
Without the privacy invasion.
Yep, I don't disagree.
Yeah, because now you want to pay $5 to hear that John Smith is at McDonald's.
I would postulate that this is not aimed at being a Facebook killer.
Yeah,
this is something different. Yeah, if you value privacy, if you value your information and you don't want to give it, join LO. I don't know if it's going to be successful, but that's the concept. If none of those things bother you, you know, I don't think they're going to replace Facebook.
I agree. Facebook is too big. There's too many options with it. Like us, we have our Facebook page that we can access and people can talk to us really easily. Going to something that's going to totally replace it, I doubt a system like Elo, who is focused on no ads, is going to allow people to make company pages within Elo and blast people's statuses with ads that way. I would imagine that that's also going to be a function that's not available. But that's all we got for that.
I don't know.
We'll see what happens in the future, see if it holds true. If not, then good try, guys. Good
that
try.
That may have to be a follow-up piece.
Hey, somebody's got to try it.
Yep.
So, speaking of follow-ups, in follow-up to an article that we covered last week on the podcast, this one referring to Apple's new iPhone 6 and 6 Plus, and the reports of them having issues with them bending.
Yes.
Apple made a statement this week saying that they have only been made aware of 9 legitimate cases where the iPhone has bent. I'm assuming that by legitimate, they are not counting all the YouTube videos where people take it between two hands and bend it. Yeah, of course it's going to bend that way.
Sure.
It bends. Watch.
Yeah.
Jerks. Look, the screen breaks when you hit it with a hammer. Yeah. Watch.
Yeah. What a crappy piece of junk. So, in addition to that, they also allowed a news crew to come to their test lab and show some of the tests, not all of them, but some of the tests that they put the phones through before they get released. It's an interesting watch. If you get a chance, check it out. But in independent reports, Consumer Reports took an iPhone 6 and an iPhone 6 Plus, along with a couple other popular smartphones, and put them in a compression test, flex test machine to determine how legitimate this is.
If you haven't gotten a chance to see that, that is on our Facebook page, so go ahead and take a look.
So, yeah, pause now, switch over to Facebook, watch the video, come on back. We'll wait. And welcome back. So, some surprising results. The 6 Plus, the bigger phone, is actually stronger than the smaller one. The iPhone 6 started to deform at 70 pounds of force. Yes. The 6 Plus held its shape until 90 pounds.
Yeah, that is interesting, considering you'd think with a bigger phone there'd be more leverage and it would actually bend easier, not later. I wonder if the bigger battery had something to do with that, or...
I'm guessing the bigger battery, plus they probably put more reinforcements in it, knowing that they would have more leverage.
Sure.
Yeah, it sounds reasonable.
They did come out and say that they planned for this. It's not just a thin aluminum shell. It's actually reinforced with titanium bars. So, you know, they knew what was going to happen with these phones, and they tried to strengthen them as much as they could. The other interesting thing that came out of the Consumer Reports test is they put it up against 3 other phones, the LG G3, the Samsung Galaxy Note 3, and the iPhone 5.
Yes.
And all 3 of those actually started to deform at lower pressures than the iPhone 6.
That's incorrect.
Okay.
Per Consumer Reports, the Samsung was the strongest phone. It may have started bending, but it still would retain its original shape. What they were looking for was when it would bend and hold the bent shape. And the Samsung was the strongest, I think, 150 pounds or 130 pounds. I believe the iPhone 5 was stronger than both the 6 and the 6 Plus, but the LG was significantly weaker by like 10 or 20 pounds of force weaker.
I was reading the wording backward in my article. You are correct. It is slightly weaker than the iPhone 5 and the Note 3, but still significantly stronger than the force that would be reasonably subjected on a phone in your pocket.
Yeah. Or, I mean, any other means. If you're, obviously, if, like you said, if you're trying to bend the phone and you're trying to find a way to make the phone bend, you will find that way.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yep.
You'll figure it out. But under normal, everyday usage, there shouldn't be a concern. In your pocket, whatever. You've got to be either wearing some tight pants that allows no movement or flexibility, and doing some sort of, I don't know,
what's heavy it called? Stretching.
What's it called when people can like bend over backwards? Contortion.
Contortion?
Yeah, you've got to be like a contortionist with skinny jeans on to try to do anything. I mean, it's pretty extreme. And like you said, Apple's only been aware of a very small handful of legitimate cases. And they did say that if it did bend, they will replace the phone.
It's funny how
they will replace legitimate ones. Correct. Now keep that in mind. If you're trying to prove a point and you take your phone and bend it, you're on your own.
Yes, that's true. The other interesting thing, though, with the Consumer Reports video is that even though the phones would bend and the screens would semi-separate from the housing, the phones still operated. They didn't look very good, but they still had full functionality, which I thought was pretty interesting. Well,
it is interesting. And how many phones have you seen, you know, I don't know if you've ever had any. I know I have not, but I have had buddies that have, where you get the little spider web across the screen where they've dropped something on it.
Sure.
Yep, and I have.
It's annoying, but it still works. It's amazing.
Yep. No, it's crazy. Technology, man. I love it.
And I just like to see, or not like, but how do I put this? It's amazing to see how fast people are going to jump the gun on more or less damning something. Even though this is such like a low populated case. Yep. You said about 9 were legitimate, and yet people are like, oh, look, this bends, haha. And like, we have major companies like Heineken, like, oh, look, this happens to us too.
Yeah, there's all these comedic like advertisement posts now on Twitter or whatever of other companies that have come out and kind of poked fun at it. So like Heineken shows a bottle top where it's been bent by a bottle opener. It says, oh, don't worry, Apple, it happens to us all the time. And there's a few of them out there now. And it's pretty funny.
Not even just major companies. I mean, you get people who, you know, I don't really want to toss people under the bus, but people who have other phones than the iPhone, you know, so willing to damn the other product for even if there's just the hintest, slightest thing that there may be a problem with it.
Well, and we were kind of discussing that last week as well, how people get so passionate about their phone
that they need to damn the other product to feel better. Yeah, that's...
Yep.
I kind of got in arms about that, but whatever.
I remember.
Yeah. Anywho, another thing to get up in arms about, well, Destiny has a bug. But this is a very unusual bug. This bug shows you what they have in plan, what Bungie has in plan for an expansion for Destiny. Or, yeah, DLC. During this bug, you are not able to embark on any missions, but you do get to see the next grouping of missions, which will be available whenever Bungie gets it out. Bungie has come out with this saying, yes, we are planning more content. It's probably somewhere around 4 more missions, 2 strikes, and I think 2 more raids for Destiny. And it's kind of funny. Did you not bug test your game with this current build? Or was just like a sneaky way to announce your expansion or content update for the game?
Depending on how the expansion ties in, this is something that you see. It's not uncommon for yet unreleased products. It happens all the time with Apple where, you know, they may not have announced the features of the next phone, but they have to get the next version of the software released. And there are people that will reverse engineer the iOS software and see comments or references in the code for the upcoming stuff, because they've got to start getting this out way ahead of time. And so this could be just one of those things that, you know, it's not necessarily, it could be, but not necessarily a sneaky way of announcing it as much as they've got to tie the expansion into the original code somehow. And so their team is already working on it, and, you know, parts of that are just going to be in there so that when the expansion is released, it just ties in.
Uh-huh. I'm just curious about the whole Destiny thing. I mean, it's marketed as an MMO first-person shooter, but the content is not vast enough to keep people engaged. I haven't played it after the week that we bought it.
Neither. I kind of wanting to be playing it, but then I got another game and I'm kind of enthralled with that.
I mean, there's less expense. There's free games that I would rather play over Destiny. There's just not enough going on, not enough of a engaging experience to at least keep me captivated. I know other people that they got to max level right away. They're doing all the strikes. They're getting all the loot that they can, and they're doing everything they can. But after a while, there's only so much you can do before it's just the same repetitive grind over and over. And until there's a purpose to the grind, people are just going to drop off really quick.
Speaking of grind, have you heard about the loot cave in that game?
I have.
And it's been removed. And yep. Someone made a free game that you can download. It's the Shoot Cave Simulator, where it's just you shoot into a cave and you level.
So I don't know if you saw this, Brad, but there's obviously the big focus to Destiny is grinding for better gear and leveling up and being more competitive, whether you're in the story or PvP.
Much like any MMO.
Yeah. So a couple people online found this cave on one of the planets, whether the moon or Venus or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that the enemy spawn rate, if you stayed outside of a certain area, was almost constant. You could just sit at this spot and just keep shooting into this cave, kill a bunch of monsters, do it for 5 minutes, and then go in and pick up all the gear that was dropped. Well,
it wasn't even that. I mean, you could sit there and there could be 2 level 20s, which is max level for the game, and you'd be level 16 without doing anything.
Yeah, you could just sit there and farm the experience. As long as there's somebody there killing the stuff, you don't have to do anything. You just sit there and just leech the benefits. Well, a few videos went around YouTube on this, and Bungie saw it, and they had gone in and tweaked the respawn rate so that that particular location is no longer available purpose.
People are saying there will always be a quote-unquote loot cave because people are always looking.
Yeah.
They are always looking for the best spot to get the most or the best stuff.
And they can only fine-tune the parameters so much before they either break the game because they fine-tuned too much, or they allow people some leeway for these more or less exploits.
I mean, if you really want to give a good look at what I just said, look at how many sites there are for World of Warcraft. WoWhead, WoW Wiki, I mean, there's just so many that you can look into and find where to get a particular item. It's just...
Look at how vast World of Warcraft is versus Destiny. I mean, you've got worlds upon worlds, missions upon missions to do in World of Warcraft. And in Destiny, a couple of days with some dedicated play, and you've gone through all the content that they have out already.
Yeah.
And then what do? You sit and grind for the next gear? I don't know.
Well, I think the main problem is with Destiny is that they... I mean, this is a problem with a lot of MMOs, is that people... The company doesn't understand how willing people will go to find exploits, how fast people will grind to the max level, and then people will sit there and go, where's the rest of the stuff? Well, there's nothing here. Quit.
Yeah, well, if you wouldn't have gone through all the content in 2 days, then maybe you would have had more fun at it.
I mean, I hear stories in WoW where it's guys leveled through 10 levels in a day, and then they blow through all the raids, and then they sit there and yell at Blizzard saying, where's the content? It's like, well, you should have experienced it, not just try to blow through it.
Yeah, that's the other flip side of the coin. Well, moving on from the gaming scene, an interesting study has been done over the past 6 months, from April to September, on the either happier or cranky you are when you wake up in the morning, depending on where you live. An app called Sleep Cycle has been, I don't know how long it's been out, but they've been conducting a test by compiling 1,000 users' data across the United States from ages 18 to 55 from June 4th to September. So that's only, what, 3 months? And what they found was kind of interesting. The way the app works is that in the morning when you wake up, there's three faces on your screen. A green smiley face, which has a score of 1.0, a gray indifferent face at a score of 0.5, and a red frown face at 0.0. So across the U.S., with 1,000 users, both male and female, for those past 3 months, 3 to 4 months, they found that the top three cities where people wake up the happiest are L.A., with an average of 0.669, Atlanta, Georgia at 0.665, and Austin, Texas at 0.664. The three crankiest cities, based on the user data, is number one, this is no surprise to me, Seattle, Washington, at an average of 6.57, so not really that far off. New York City, New York, average of 6.53, and Chicago at 0.652. I said those other numbers wrong. It's all 0.6, etc. I found it really interesting the numbers were that close. I mean, you're talking an average into only the hundredths, not any, you know, and only off by 1/100th than something that might be more of a discrepancy. Wade's making a face. Brad's being silent.
I'm surprised that Los Angeles scored as one of the
more joyous towns.
Yeah,
I was too. I wonder if they had to have a certain number of people in cities, because all of these cities are major cities.
Sure.
You know, I know that they're averages, but I wonder if they took into consideration a certain population to base it off of. Because if you did something like a small town in Kansas and only three people did it, and they all had, you know, middle to high rankings, then they're going to blow these big cities away. So they had to have based it on some population. They did not emphasize what that might be. However, they did decide to contribute some helpful tips that might make your mornings a little more cheerful.
Go to bed earlier, for God's sakes.
That's number three on the list.
Ah.
Go to bed a little earlier. Number one, they say, is to ignore your phone, and more specifically your email, until you're physically out of bed, until you can kind of get your routine in order. You know, don't be waking up and checking your phone and, oh no, I got X, Y, and Z to deal with today. And the number two is to try morning exercises. Get up, get active, get your body going, get your blood flowing, and start your day with some of the natural highs that your body can produce when you exercise. So if you are waking up and you feel you're crankier than you should be, there's a few tips that might help change that.
Go to bed earlier, stop looking at devices, get up, get going, and get out. Get up,
stand up.
Wow, no.
I know. don't. Okay. Just don't.
I stopped.
Ow.
Jeez. So, back to you, Brad, maybe? Wrap us up with a final one?
I can definitely do that. Let's go to space. You'll like this one. Let's talk about space news, not be spaced out. This one even has a movie tie-in, so you'll like this. Last week, India, the large Asian country of India.
That is very true, though. It is considered part of Asia and not the Middle East, although the people look surprisingly like Middle Easterns.
Asian subcontinent. So, they joined the very elite group of nations that are successful space-going nations.
Woohoo!
India launched a rocket headed for Mars with a satellite on top, a probe, and it arrived. NASA even sent a message to their space director welcoming them, or welcoming their probe into Mars orbit, and looking forward to collaborating on missions studying the red planet.
That's awesome.
So this is, and the European Space Agency also tweeted, "Welcome to the club."
They tweeted it.
They tweeted it.
How formal of them. Hey, pick up the phone and call. Don't send a real nice, letterhead with a, CEO or director's audit, signature on it expressing, their condolences or their, not condolences, but congratulations. Nah, we'll just send out a tweet.
That's like the speech age fairing of like a raise your eyebrows. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah. I got nothing to say to you, but I'll acknowledge your existence, so I'll tweet it. I don't want to put too much effort into this.
We've got to look like we still have good public relations.
Congratulations to India on this monumental task. Not only did they just become part of this elite group, but they succeeded on their first attempt.
Awesome.
Yeah, this was their first rocket, their first probe, and it arrived without incident. So congratulations to them.
Especially for a country
that is still developing. There are a lot of challenges in rural India, especially. So, hopefully they can put this to good use and come up with some developments that will aid their population. The movie tie-in here, just for reference, is for the movie Gravity.
Okay,
so Gravity, which we covered when it came out a few months ago, Gravity had an estimated budget of $100 million for their movie. India launched a rocket to Mars for $74 million.
Wow.
It takes more money to make a movie about space than to actually get you there.
The difference is here, though, between going to space and making a movie about space is how much money does India make on their $74 million investment versus Gravity's $100 million investment.
No, that's true. They're not going to make their money back directly. But hopefully they will be able to use what they learn from being a spacefaring nation to, like I said, to aid and assist their population.
Agreed. On a side note for Mars and going there, our buddy Elon Musk with SpaceX and Tesla says that he wants or would really like to send upwards of 1 million people to colonize Mars. But what does that mean? Well, This is very, I'm trying to paraphrase from what I remember reading here, and I'll try to be quick, but the initial, they said roughly for about 10 years, it's going to be a one-way trip. If a vehicle, spacecraft lands on Mars, it's not going to have any leftover fuel or the ability to escape Mars's atmosphere to return to Earth. So for 10 years, it's a one-way trip. And not to mention, they're talking about for every one shipment of people, they would need 10 shipments of supplies. So you would need, depending on how many people you sent up, but you're talking like 10,000 trips to Mars to accomplish this. But his reasoning behind it is that mankind is destroying Earth. And there's going to be no escape of a pretty much mass extinction at some point in mankind's future on Earth with the climate change, with what we're doing to it. That the only option to save mankind is to take it somewhere else and learn from our bad habits.
Well, and that's where the problem comes in, isn't it? Are we actually going to learn, or are we going to take it somewhere else and ruin that too?
Exploit it for what we can because no one else has yet?
Sure.
Yep, I agree.
Is it possible that we can, how do I say this, leave Earth, wait for that to heal, then come back?
Easy, Wally.
I'm just asking.
It's possible, well, but like in Wall-E, how much time is going to go by? They were in space for 700 years, you know? I mean,
sure. And the planet still wasn't fixed when they got back.
No, but it was on a path of course correction.
I never said it was like flip a switch and done, but...
I know. But interesting news out there with that. I don't really have anything to follow that. I just thought... I saw that in the news. I didn't really plan to discuss it, but with the India thing, it seemed applicable.
It fit.
So, you guys got anything else to wrap us up?
Nope.
I have one more if you want me to.
Well, we're approaching our hour mark, so unless you want to speed through it, let your conscience be your guide.
All right, let's do it. Speed Tuesday round, of go. This week... Are you kidding me? Me not go. Tuesday of this week, Microsoft invited a select group of journalists to fly out to San Francisco, I believe it was, to see an unveiling of their up-and-coming update to the Windows operating system. So after Windows 8 is going to be Windows 10.
Wait. Now, I'm not the smartest guy out there, but when I count, and I learned how to count in elementary school...
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure something came after 8 that wasn't 10.
Can't well, yes, but in elementary school, you would have also learned that 7, 8, 9, so that's why they had to skip 9.
Oh, that's right. That did happen. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So they got 7 and 8, and then they had to go to 10, because 9 was already eaten.
Got it.
So, the actual story on that, Wade joking aside, is...
Yeah, you have no idea how many times I've heard that joke.
The story is, from Microsoft, is they feel like this is going to be a significant enough update from Windows 8 to warrant skipping 9 entirely. It is that big in their mind. It is going to be, for lack of a better word, kind of an amalgamation between Windows 7 and Windows 8. All the advancements that they have put into Windows 8 will still be there. However, it is projected to be more intelligent. Excuse me. So if you use it on a device that is a touchscreen tablet-type device, you will get the Windows 8 tile interface that makes sense when you're touching the screen. However, if you're using it with a keyboard and mouse in a traditional PC kind of role, then it will revert back to the desktop with a start menu, you know, more in line with what you would use for a keyboard and mouse.
My question to that is how much system utility is being utilized to detect the information and be able to intuitively operate under the appropriate form?
From all reports, not a whole lot. It is supposedly going to be, if not exact, fairly close system requirements-wise to Windows 8. So if your computer already runs Windows 8, then it should run Windows 10, no problem.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. They're working really hard on trying to do that. There is appears to be somewhat of a recognition that Windows 8 was a flop. Kind of like Windows Vista and Windows ME.
Wait, which models again?
Yeah, yeah. So apparently, you know, every other Windows update is good.
And since 7 was decent and 8 sucks,
10 is
9 awesome. Was supposed to be good, but they're not doing 9, so now we have 10, which is going to suck.
They skipped the good one.
Yeah.
My thought is, if they're so keen on skipping numbers, and they're just pretty much slamming 7 and 8 together, why don't they just make it like Windows 15?
I like that.
It's not a bad point, actually. Windows XV. That way it doesn't sound like you skip numbers, but when you know Roman numerals, it's 15.
I mean, it's like, it's just XV. It's our new system. What, we didn't skip anything? What?
Yeah. That's right.
We're just trying a different branding system.
So, yeah, it should be interesting. If you're interested in trying it out, they did start a preview program, kind of like an early beta program. So do not, under any circumstances, install this on your main machine. Either use a spare or use a virtual machine software if you want to play with it. If you go to preview.windows.com, you can sign up there to get access to their preview. The other thing that came out of the meeting is they are wanting to be a more open and communicative company. That's why they're releasing this so early. Windows 10 is not slated for release until I believe it's second quarter of next year, so we're way early in the development cycle. But they're doing this deliberately, and they've opened up the technical preview deliberately to get people's feedback. They want to hear. Try it out. Use it. Tell them what you think. And if enough people, you know, are on the same page on features and bugs and stuff, then you can actually help influence the future of Windows.
So they can actually make it a good operating system.
We can yep. make a difference.
We can make a difference.
God, I'm going to need to get like that poster of you with like the two different colors. Make a difference underneath.
Make a difference.
With the Windows posters. Flag in the middle.
Yeah, the Windows flag in the background.
Picture. Yep.
That'd be bloody brilliant. So. Should sell those.
There's a t-shirt.
There's a t-shirt, exactly. Well, all right, guys. We appreciate you guys listening, as always. Let us know what you thought about tonight's episode, or this current episode, at least, on Facebook.
Tonight's episode, or at least this current episode.
Well, people may not be listening to it at night, so this particular episode.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I'm just going to let that one go. We don't have enough time to argue semantics.
Correct. And we will see you next week.
Sounds good. That's a wrap.
Keep on gaming.